Yeah.
I love Adama Traore. He's probably my favorite player. I think I love Adama Traore more than I love anybody at Bayern. He's just an absolute machine. It's huge, but I'll happily debate that topic.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich proved once again that London is in fact red with a commanding 3-0 win over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge on Tuesday. They continued their red-hot form into the weekend, putting six goals past Hoffenheim before joining their opponents in protest against the conduct of their ultras by simply passing the ball around to one another for the last 15 minutes of play. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss two very interesting games with my two friends, Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, guys, we'll start with the one that happened on Tuesday. I know that a lot has happened in the realm of Bayern Munich since then, but Bayern Munich went to Chelsea and came away with a really, really big 3-0 win in the first knockout stage of the Champions League. Serge Gnabry really tore Chelsea apart, getting two goals. Robert Lewandowski came in with those two assists and then added the third goal as well, but it was really just an all-around impressive team performance from Bayern Munich, especially in the second half. So they came out after a draw at halftime of 0-0, and they just came out and really just turned things up. There was a lot of players who really impressed, who really stepped up. And so my first question is going to be, and I'll come to you, Tim, like, in such an impressive display, who or maybe even what stood out the most to you?
I think the biggest thing to take away from the Chelsea game and also the Hoffenheim game that we'll discuss in a bit is that Bayern were relentless. And this is something that I think we've all kind of called for quite a while now. I think seeing the players get a goal and then instantly push for more, just like constant, non-stop, do not stop attacking. It's really fantastic to see that the team is capable of doing that. And also not even just a matter of, okay, we did it once during the week, at the weekend we'll kind of lay off a little bit. It's been a really, really good week for Bayern's performance. And that's probably the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah, anything to add to that, Sebastian?
Yeah, I think it's very important to keep in mind here that on the one hand, this performance was not exactly perfect all around. They were a bit nervous at the beginning, and there were moments where we thought, okay, Chelsea might get back into this game. But I think the most important takeaway for me here is that we managed to keep the offense going at that top level we had been seeing, while also being able to keep the defense together and keep that kind of balance against top competition. And I think that's just the most important takeaway for me here, because that was really my most important fear, I guess, because, yeah, I mean, I knew that they probably could keep the concentration up for 90 minutes. That's not necessarily such a complex task for these athletes. They should know how to do that. But yeah, for me, the most important question, and much more important than the other one, was, yeah, can they keep this balance? Is this offense sustainable that we have been seeing? Is it sustainable against a team like Chelsea? Or, yeah, would we need to change something about the offense, because we need more, yeah, we need more security on defense? But I think we can relatively confidently now say that this offense is probably sustainable, and that's very good news for me.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the offense really stepped up, and I mean, if I could pull that back in a little bit, you know, the midfield I think worked very, very well as well. So I want to talk about a few players specifically. First is Thiago, Tim. I thought he was very, very impressive alongside Joshua Kimmich in midfield. And I would say he was probably the better performer of the two. Not that Kimmich was bad by any means, but like, especially in the first half when not very many people were stepping up, it seemed like Thiago was still really in control of the game, really playing well. And, you know, for a player who's been heavily criticized in the past for not really stepping up in big games and not being able to play really well in midfield against bigger opponents, How big of a game do you think this was for him? How big of a performance do you think this was for him? Or do you even, you know, were you even as impressed as I was with his game against Chelsea?
Yeah, I thought Thiago played really well. It was kind of peculiar that he picked up a yellow card, and I think it was like one of the last substitutions. I think he played the majority of the game, but he was going into tackles with a confidence. Because if he got a tackle wrong, that's him like suspended for the next game. He gets a red card, he's out. But he was still playing knowing that he would get the ball, knowing that he was there to make all of the interceptions. It was one of those things where anytime the ball would get kicked out from the Chelsea defence, Thiago would just appear on the screen coming in and he'd be in possession. And his passing was great. I really, really like the pairing of him and Kimmich. I think that it's a perfect balance between like tenacity in defence and also the ability to create going forward. I thought both of them did well, and I do agree that Thiago definitely stood out the most between the two of them. This is really, really very positive and quite promising for coming games, because I think he did a really good job at the weekend as well. As long as he can keep this up, because we've discussed it a number of times, he is the sort of player that relies on having like a high confidence in his ability, and that's really what he's kind of showing to me at the moment, and I think to everybody else. Like, I think even some of his like most vehement detractors would say, yeah, at the moment he's doing exactly what we've kind of wanted from him for a while. So I'm delighted to see that he's playing that well.
Well, not that you are one of his most vehement detractors, but Sebastian, we do know that you are a little bit more critical on him than the rest of us. What did you think about his game against Chelsea?
Yeah, I guess I was kind of wondering if Tim had me presently in mind when he said that line. Yeah, no,
not you
I was,
personally,
I was
other people.
Yeah, no, I was pretty happy with Thiago. Really, not much criticism from my side. I guess there were a moment or two where I thought, do you really need to go for a dribbling here? Can you not just pass to the other person? Well, yeah, not a huge fan of these, but it worked out. So, yeah, I'm not really complaining here. I think I did point out I was watching this game with a couple of my friends, by the way, and I think I was going out of my way to say good things about Thiago, especially about his defending. I'm always a friend of a good sliding tackle. I always like to see that, and I think I really like how Thiago has been stepping his sliding tackle game up recently. That's really a good thing, and I really like that he's really fighting on defense, and I can't really complain about that part of his game. And of course, his passing is on pretty much on point as always. I guess the people I was watching the game with were not such huge fans of him, but I really defended him there. My twin brother hasn't been so happy with his performance. He has been criticizing him a bit, but yeah, I think really no complaints from my side here. And I think, yeah, it would even be so much better if he would be able to just cut these things out where he tries to dribble his way out of the pressing when there are two or even three players coming at him. He should just cut this out, and then we are really safe and we really have a great player on our hands. And I guess we have now seen that Kimmich and Thiago are just learning how to make the best of this pairing, and yeah, how to put Kimmich in situations that Kimmich can handle best, and how to put Thiago in situations that he can handle best. And I think these two are just improving as a team right now.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his sliding tackles as well. I will say it can be a little nerve-wracking when he's already on a yellow card and he's still flying in there. But, I mean, against Chelsea, he was spot on with every one of them, so it's hard to complain too much. A player that there's not really much contention among Bayern fans about right now, because I think we would all speak his praises endlessly, is Alphonso Davies. And I think he really kind of introduced himself to the world on Tuesday night against Chelsea. Obviously, he had an incredible run that ended with like just the calmest assist that you'll ever see. Kingsley Coman should be taking notes, is all I'm going to say. But the calmest assist to Robert Lewandowski, who just had to tap it in. Tim, I mean, how incredible was the 19-year-old against Chelsea? And are you kind of seeing the same reaction, you know, stateside? Everyone's going crazy about this kid right now, especially after that game against Chelsea. Is it kind of the same thing over there for you?
Yeah, like, it's taken them long enough to notice.
Right.
I tweeted before the game something kind of spiteful, like very much like a subtweet to Liverpool fans, which is like, even though he's not playing, the world is about to see that Andy Robertson isn't all that. Because I was just that confident that Alphonso Davies was going to show that he is an incredible left back. And he did exactly what he was supposed to. He just seems to get better and better. And it, again, I think confidence plays a huge part in all of these players. So he's played like the last 20 games or so as a left back and has been easily the best player on the pitch, well, at least certainly the most consistent. He's absolutely fantastic. I was telling my friend Alex, who's half Canadian, I said, you should watch this guy Alphonso Davies because he is very, very talented. And he's a United fan, so he's just like, oh, we got Luke Shaw, so it kind of doesn't really matter that much. And then he saw him and he was like, okay, no, I think this guy is actually very good. So you've heard it from a United fan. Alphonso Davies is better than Luke Shaw. Just, I think.
Yeah, imagine my surprise.
Yeah, it's marginal.
Sebastian, how's the reaction in Germany to, because anyone who's watched the Bundesliga obviously knows, okay, Alphonso Davies is an incredible player. Bayern have really found a gem here, but has this just kind of escalated his reputation to a whole nother level?
Yeah, I guess I think that in Germany, people were already more aware of what he's capable of, but definitely it is yet another step, and people know that he's really for real now, and nobody can doubt that he is that great, and he can be like maybe the best left back we have seen at Bayern, maybe even in his special way, so to speak. Because I think what he has been doing as a left back is something that's really very rare. I mean, he has been better than most left wingers we have seen in doing these typical winger things, like going one-on-one on the side. I think there are a few people in the Bundesliga who can do more than he can do, but he's still also a great defender. I think that is just very, very special. And yeah, he's not just a very good left back. He's just, even then, he's a very, very special kind of left back, mm-hmm. Who can do things that really few other players can do. And I think people realize that now. And I think it is definitely now the time to sign him to a new contract, to a long contract, as soon as possible, because, well, other teams are going to line up trying to get him on the contract if we don't give him a huge contract.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, you know, when he's playing left back, it's almost like Bayern have 12 men on the field because his speed and his stamina just allows him to play the whole entire left side, whether it be attack or defense, and back and forth as seamlessly as could be. So it's just a huge advantage for Bayern to have a player like him. And I think that contract has to be coming soon. You know, there's been some reports this week even that Bayern have already initiated the talks for that. And I think that, I mean, they'd be crazy, absolutely crazy not to, you know, give him a 5-year contract, almost, you know, just tell him, name your price and sign the contract immediately. But while we're talking about that, another man who had a big night on Tuesday and could also be getting a contract from the club very soon is Hansi Flick. And Sebastian, I'm going to come back to you. Was this Chelsea win and then even, you know, the demolishing of Hoffenheim that we saw yesterday, has this been enough for the Bayern board to be like, okay, Flick's the real deal. We need to sign him right now and plan with him going forward?
I do hope so. For me, it has definitely been enough. There's little doubt. I mean, what else could Flick do? He has done everything he can to, yeah, warrant signing him to an actual contract. So yeah, I really don't know how you could make an argument for any other coach at this point. And yeah, I think how Rummenigge hinted at giving him a new contract after the Chelsea match, it seems like they have understood that too, and it's just a question of a couple of weeks maybe to get that done. I think they really changed their mind now, and they are not going to wait this out, because they probably also realize that it's a huge advantage if we get our coach for the new season under contract right now, because then we can think about other things. We can think about getting transfers, getting new players in, thinking about which players we are going to keep, which players might go somewhere else next season, because then we know what players we need for the team this coach is trying to build, and that's just going to be a huge advantage for us, and I think we should definitely take it and never look back.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. I think that there's no reason for us to not just commit to Flick right now, to give him the contract. And like you said, there's so many advantages to signing a coach, you know, several months before the transfer window, so you can start planning on building that squad for next season, and he can start lining out his transfer targets and say, hey, I, you know, would like to have this player brought in or this player brought in, and start really building for the future. Tim, anything to add to that, or would you disagree that maybe we should hold off a little bit longer on Hansi Flick?
I think it's kind of the same principle as like the loan deals with James and Coutinho and also Koeman, because obviously he joined on loan first. I don't think there's any rush. Like, there's still plenty of time left, and the pessimist inside me says this could still go wrong. I think if he can like really confidently and safely get through Chelsea, yeah, I think he deserves the contract. Obviously, there is that whole Rio Ferdinand thing of like, get the contract out, put it down, tell him to write whatever numbers he wants. That's not worked out brilliantly for United when he was talking about, I don't even want to say that guy's name, but I do think there is clearly something here. Like, I think the whole new manager bounce, I think that's long past, and now this is actually just what the team is. So if he can continue that past Chelsea, and I think if he can have like another good game in the quarterfinals, then yeah, I've got no problems with it at all. Especially kind of seeing his reaction to everything that happened against Hoffenheim. I think he's clearly a very strong personality to have.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement, at least right now, that Flick, unless something goes drastically wrong, has to be the guy to lead this team forward. So I really hope the club sees it the same way, and based on the hint that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge gave, it does seem like that's going to be the case. Something pretty incredible happened after the Chelsea game, something that's never really happened before, and that's Robert Lewandowski is injured, actually injured, and he's going to miss up to 4 weeks with a fracture in his shin. Bayern, when they played Hoffenheim yesterday, not a lot of people knew how they were going to line up, whether it be Thomas Müller as a striker or Serge Gnabry as a striker. Personally, I think a lot of us hoped that Joshua Zirkzee would get his minutes, and that's actually the route that Hansi Flick went with. And the kid scored. He scored a goal. It was an incredibly composed finish for someone as young as he is. And so I guess my question is, you know, there's a few big games over the next few weeks. Sebastian, do you think Hansi Flick should stick with handing Joshua Zirkzee the starting spot for these games?
Yeah, I see a few reasons why he shouldn't try that. I mean, if it's not working, you can still have a substitution there. But I think Zirkzee has really played well, and he definitely is an option in a way. Well, let me put it this way. He's an actual striker, but he's also kind of a more natural fit even than Robert Lewandowski in the offense we are seeing right now, because for Lewandowski you can kind of tell that it's a change for him to change positions with the other guys, and sometimes it works very well, as we have seen against Chelsea. Two of those goals came when Lewandowski was drifting to the left side and passing inwards, I think. So, but it's just doesn't come as natural. And there are games where it doesn't happen like that, and we play a more kind of static offense. And I think for succeed, this is way more natural, and that's definitely a positive. Of course, I'm not saying that he's better or as good as Robert Lewandowski, obviously. Even while I'm not a huge fan of Lewandowski, I would never go as far as to say that, because that's kind of nonsense, obviously. But that's just not so important. What's really more important is that it works, because he's a really good fit in this offense. This offense where you kind of have four offensive players changing positions a lot, especially the two on the inside and the two on the outside. I was thinking, like, sometimes this looked kind of like two false nines sometimes in the middle, and then at other times Cirksey was playing like a kind of standard number nine. And yeah, just these possibilities there are just so interesting. And I think Cirksey is a perfect fit, and as long as this is working, I really see no reason to not give him a shot there. I'm not saying necessarily that he needs to play all of those games, definitely not all of these games for 90 minutes, but I definitely think he should get another start or two, maybe even more if it still works out as well as it has. We have seen this in Alphonso Davies, of course. Why not make him the next Alphonso Davies if we can do that? I mean, everyone's going to be very happy, I assume.
Yeah, and it's we talked about this. I had brought this up before the game the other day, that I like playing Cirksey, not only because it gives a young player an opportunity to really develop and prove himself in the first team, but I'm not a fan of pulling Thomas Muller or Serge Gnabry out of the positions that they're playing in right now, because those two players have been just incredible over the past few months for Bayern Munich, especially Thomas Muller, kind of playing as a false nine striker, kind of number 10 role alongside someone like Lewandowski or like Cirksey even on Saturday. And he's really thriving in that role. I mean, he has 16 assists. Only Kevin De Bruyne has as many in Europe this season. So he's been sensational. He was sensational again on Saturday, and I don't want to move him out of that role. And then, you know, we saw what Serge Gnabry did to Chelsea. He's been excellent as well, and I don't want to pull him out and kind of force him to play as a lone center forward and maybe break up his form, keep him from doing, you know, what he's been doing. So even heading into the cup game against Schalke on Tuesday, Xerxes the guy that I want to see lining up in the number nine spot. Thoughts on this from you, Tim? Do you think Xerxes should continue to just be the replacement for Lewandowski at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it worked out quite well at the weekend. He's every time he's played, he's scored. I think actually bar one match. I think the fact that he can get into the position where he can score, it's kind of a similar principle to the reason why Erling Haaland is so good, is that he's getting for the most part the goals that he's scoring are tap-ins. Like, he's not making the difference. He's there, though. Like, I think having that sort of the mentality side of things, of knowing where to be at the right time, I think that's a very difficult thing to teach. And if we've got somebody on the team like Thomas Muller, whose whole gameplay is based around being in the right place at the right time, if you can have two players like that, then that's really good news. I think what Sebastian was talking about, how the way that they were playing, it was kind of like having two false nines, almost like switching between the position, like one would play behind, one would play up top, and then like 5 minutes later it would be the other way around. It's great to see that he has that sort of synergy with the players. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to see him start in the cup game. I'd be happy to see him start every game until Lewandowski's back. I think he's clearly got something special, and he's only going to get better with more exposure. So if you give him more time, he will improve.
Yeah, agree 100%. So not only did Bayern just dominate Chelsea on Tuesday, they really smashed Hoffenheim yesterday. It was never at any point in the game much of a competition. They came out. Joshua Xerxes didn't only impress. I mean, the whole team was impressive. It was 4-0 by the 33rd minute. It was 6-0 by the 63rd minute. And it really seemed like Bayern were about to take this game into double digits. Unfortunately, the impressive scoreline has sort of been, not even sort of, has definitely been overshadowed by something that took place off the pitch with the ultra fans. And so, Sebastian, could you try and kind of explain what took place toward the end of the game yesterday?
Yeah. I guess I will try not to use any bad words here and try to paraphrase as much as possible. Yeah, there were some ultras in the Bayern block. Schickeria, I think, to be specific, they unrolled a banner or several banners insulting Dietmar Hopp. I think that is the worst part. They also kind of criticized the DFB, the German football, well, I don't really know how to translate that. It's the Deutsche Fußballbund. It's the governing body of football in Germany, I guess you could say. But that really was not as important. The main thing really was against Dietmar Hopp. The referee stopped the game for a while, and then the Bayern players and the Flick and the others talked to the Bayern fans and in the stands, and then the ban appeared, but it happened again, and then, well, everything was stopped again, and in the end, everyone decided to not play any football anymore for the last, I think, roughly 20 minutes, and they just passed the ball from Hoffenheim to Bayern, and to Hoffenheim, and to Bayern again, and yeah, I think it was really a huge mess there. I really don't understand the fans. I don't know how transparent this is for international football fans. I guess it's kind of a relatively German thing, I guess, because German football fans from most clubs and from most backgrounds are highly critical of clubs like Red Bull Leipzig or TSG Hoffenheim because, well, they are kind of owned by very rich investors, which is just not a very normal thing in Germany. And that's just, it's a huge problem for the fans, and it has been criticized. And I think it's pretty mainstream to not exactly like this model in Germany. But obviously, most football fans in Germany don't agree with these insults we have been seeing. I guess it wasn't as bad as it has been in other stadiums, where there were images of Dietmar Hopp in crosshairs, which I think is pretty much worse than just a run-of-the-mill kind of insult. But yeah, it's bad enough, and I'm kind of ashamed that it also happens at Bayern. And yeah, I guess we can only hope that this will end eventually.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. It was really strange to see how it ended, especially as, you know, an American. It was something that doesn't really happen in American sports at all, and also not really outside of the Bundesliga. But after the referee stopped the game, Manuel Neuer was talking about it after the match. He said that basically they got together with the Hoffenheim players, and they talked it over. They both decided, we don't want the game to be called off because some fans made a stupid mistake, or not even a stupid mistake. They were just, you know, their protests weren't being carried out in the best manner. They said they don't want the game to be called off because of that, because then I guess the ultras have got what they want. So they decided they wanted to set, you know, their own example by just going out and kicking the ball around for the last 15 minutes, sort of just wasting the time off the clock. Tim, do you think this is going to, you think we'll look back and kind of see this as a watershed moment in the Bundesliga? Do you think that there could be more events like this on the horizon, where maybe it's not Dietmar Hopp being targeted, but, you know, a player being targeted, or some sort of racist chant that gets the game stopped? You think we're looking at a watershed moment?
Yeah, I think that sort of thing is inevitable, sadly. Like, we live in, I don't want to say we live in a society, because that's such a stupid thing to say, but we live in a world where people don't like people for ridiculous reasons. Is it the head of the AFD saying that she wouldn't want Jerome Boateng as a neighbor? Like, it's just absolute idiocy. And I don't know, this is, having seen like a lot of the discussions about like, yeah, but he's a billionaire, like, it, this doesn't matter, like, why is it okay if it's a billionaire? Or why is it not okay if it's a billionaire, but everything else, you turn a blind eye to it? I think just general abuse is, like, just shouldn't be tolerated, whether it's racism, sexism, or just generally, just general hatred towards somebody that's so personal. I think it's something that should be taken very seriously and dealt with a solemnity that I think is required. And I think it's the sort of solemnity that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge was talking about. So I think they said that they had the whole thing on video and they're going to be very vigilant with these fans. The whole thing with the pictures of Dietmar Hopp in crosshairs, that's horrific. I think for all of the conversations of like, oh, but he's just a billionaire, like he's just a rich guy, this isn't a problem. So you're still showing a picture of him almost implying that you want him to be shot. Like that's absolutely atrocious. Like, I don't know the full extent of what's happened, but I want to be a part of a community that welcomes everybody. Like it's just a really massive shame that some people take it to the extreme. I don't know. I don't know what the right thing to think is here. Because obviously like I love football. I love German football. I love the culture that comes with it, but I understand that some people are dead against, like, I think it's supposed to be like for the fans and with the fans. And so when you have that sort of hefty investment, it's kind of like, oh, you're ruining this sport. Isn't he? He's from Hoffenheim and is a Hoffenheim fan. He's like living the dream that, like, I'd love to take over Bayern and be like, yeah, I run this now. I don't have the money for it, but it would still be really cool. Like, I think there's a huge difference between what he's done. And again, I've probably got this wrong. I'm not as well versed in this as Sebastian might be. But I think there's a monumental difference between what he's done by injecting funding into his favorite club and the way that Red Bull went about it, by saying, okay, we're going to buy out this team and we're just going to pump in money until we get something. I don't know. It's very contentious. I don't think that it's even close to being the end of it. And it's just sad that people feel like they need to abuse someone, whether it is a billionaire or somebody that has a different skin color. I think, like, why can't we all just get along? Like, as ridiculous and childish as that sounds, it would be really nice if everybody could just be friends.
Yeah, I guess I have, for me, it has been very frustrating how people have been trying to defend this, like, oh, when it's racism, nobody cares, but now it's against a billionaire and everyone cares. Right. I think this is so ridiculous because it's just not like that. And I don't know. I have been to a lot of different German stadiums, and I guess Tim could also tell us about how that is at the Allianz Arena better than I could. But I have never seen a racist banner of any, well, never seen a large-scale racist banner in a Bundesliga stadium, really. If that had happened, I think the reaction would have been exactly the same, if not more severe than what we have seen against Hoffenheim. So I think it's quite ridiculous, and it's just a very weak argument that they are just pulling out because they don't have any other arguments to defend this kind of thing. I think that's quite absurd.
Yeah, and to add to that, I think that if that, you know, like you said, if that was the case, it would be shut down immediately, handled on the same. So I guess ultimately it's just going to be interesting to see how this stuff is handled going forward and see how fans respond to this going forward. So I'll be very interested to see how the ultras react the next time Bayern play it at home. I guess Tuesday, I'll be interested to see how the ultras react on Tuesday and how that goes. And I'll be really disappointed if we're seeing a lot more of the same. But let's wrap it up talking about Tuesday's game, maybe try to end on a little bit more of a lighthearted note. Bayern do take on Schalke in the next round of the DFB Pokal, and we're going to be heading there without Robert Lewandowski. We've already kind of talked about how we think Joshua Zirkzee fits into the plans, and hope to see him playing on Tuesday. But is there anyone else that you would say has sort of been left out of the starting 11 that needs to get back in, or do you think Hansi Flick has found a team that works and should stick with it? Especially in a game as big as Tuesday's. And we'll come back to you, Sebastian.
I guess I could see some changes maybe at the back line. I'm not perfectly convinced that this is necessarily the way forever now, basically. Not that anyone really played bad in any of those two games, but yeah, well, the defense has not been perfect, at least against Chelsea. So I think there could be an argument for changing something there, maybe getting Hernandez in, maybe giving Odriozola another chance. Why not at the Pokal against a relatively weak Schalke right now? So maybe that's a good situation to, well, give some people there another shot. Because it has been very interesting, actually, about what has been going on defense. When Boateng left the field, the Alaba and Kimmich kind of were playing as center backs, and Hernandez was playing on the left side. And well, you would have thought, why not switch that around a little bit, put Alaba on the left side, put Kimmich on the right side, but that really hasn't happened. So I guess it's definitely time to see a bit more of Odriozola on the right, if Kimmich is not really much of an option there anymore, for example. I would really like to see some changes there, maybe. I guess it would also not hurt to see a bit more Goretzka, if possible. I guess there could be an argument for that, because Goretzka has also been quite good, and he had been good before. So if there's a chance to give Goretzka some more minutes, I definitely would think that's a good idea. But yeah, someone else will have to leave the field then, and I'm not so sure who that should be, because Coutinho has also been looking good in the last game, and you would not really try to break his little bit of good form right now. So yeah, tough decisions there, but I could see some changes.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for Tim, is do you think that Felipe Coutinho did enough on Saturday to justify staying in the starting lineup come Tuesday against Schalke?
Yeah, I thought he did really well at the weekend. It was great to see him get a goal, and then great to see him get another one immediately afterwards. Again, another player that has kind of been very low on confidence. This is the sort of thing that, you know, could potentially turn his season around. I can't see Bayern keeping him beyond this year, but he is going to be here at the end of the season regardless. So as long as he's playing well, that's really all that matters. And I think if he has got his confidence up, and like, just as a side note, it was so wonderful seeing just what his goal meant to everybody else around him. Like, it was just pure joy and elation. So he's clearly well liked in the team, and I think that's big as well. So I think the worst thing that could happen would be for him to get his confidence back and then instantly be put back on the bench again. And as Sebastian said, like, Schalke aren't doing brilliantly at the moment, so I think this could be a great opportunity for him to kind of keep that level going. And if he can get more goals, then, you know, I will happily welcome that as well.
All right, so before we wrap up, Tim was on a Chelsea podcast earlier this week to represent us, talk a little bit about Bayern Munich's win over Chelsea. So how did that go, Tim?
Yeah, it was really great. Begrudgingly, actually quite nice people. Like, there's this innate feeling inside me to dislike anything to do with Chelsea. And then I spoke to Mikey, and he was just really nice. Hugely disappointing, actually. It's kind of shattered the illusion. But no, had a great time. It's a really great podcast. There's a really good group of people there. We got to speak about the Bayern game. It was just a really nice conversation. So I imagine we can probably put a link to that in the notes for this episode.
Yeah, I'll definitely include a link. And if you just want to find it yourself, it's at the Bridge Pod. That's at the Bridge Pod. You can find them on Twitter. They're on all the locations that we are at as well. But like I said, the link will be in the description. And if I'm not mistaken, you may be going on there again, Tim.
Yeah, so what they like to do is like a get to know the fans. Because obviously my story, if you were to meet me, you'd think that I probably am a Chelsea fan, what with the whole being English and everything. So yeah, I think he said that they'd probably get me back to like have a conversation with me and like find out why it is that I am a Bayern fan, and like various memories that I've got. I feel they will probably ask me about what happened in 2012, So safe to say that we will not be extending the invitation for them to come on us. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. It's really great people. And it's just nice to be involved in stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So be sure to go check out that. Listen to our boy Tim giving us some representation. Hopefully bragging a little bit about Bayern's big win over Chelsea. But that's all the time that we...
I was not gracious. I was very...
That's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can tweet at us there, or you can email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. All of our podcasts can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're listening to your podcasts, we're going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time. Oh,